Well, during revival, I usually take notes. I sit down here and have the papers with me, and I write down his text and go through and take notes. And so on Wednesday, I read something, and I thought about sharing it then, but then decided I'd wait till tonight and share it tonight as a recap of revival meeting. Mark Leach wrote this, and this is what he said. Listen up. I know it doesn't really work well to read somebody else's thing thoroughly here, but he said, the pastor, president of the school, or chairman of your denomination or association just posted the announcement for one service, revival, or camp meeting that you've been waiting for, and then you see him or her, the speaker that you don't really care for. Maybe they've said something in the past that struck you the wrong way, or maybe something they posted on Facebook didn't coincide with your opinion, or maybe the way they speak isn't your favorite delivery style. Whatever the case may be, we've probably all been there. We all have our favorite evangelical speakers or preachers, so it makes sense that there are also those that don't appeal to us as much. As this fall season is in full swing and churches all around are having fall revivals and conferences, it's likely that somewhere around the country in a church or school, someone is going to have a reaction like the one I described above. There's nothing at all wrong with having a preference in regards to speakers, but if the scenario above describes you, and I hope you won't let anyone know about it, let me give you some food for thought. You are going to have to give extra effort in this upcoming service or revival. Those that we don't naturally gravitate towards, we naturally shut out and don't listen to them. But there are some things that you should be aware of lest you even subconsciously shut them down before they ever step to the platform to speak. If you don't give these people an opportunity to speak to your heart, there are just a few dangers that you might face. He said, number one, you might face that you might rob yourself of a blessing. This person has likely come with every intention of being a blessing to you and the rest of your church family. With God as their helper, they came with messages that may be just what you've been looking for, though maybe not delivered how you wish them to be. I'd hate to miss it because I had already decided he wasn't the messenger for me. Number two, he said you might miss out on necessary truth. It's not been uncommon that God has used these messengers to speak truth that we have all needed, whether or not it was the truth that we really wanted. As children of God, I hope we are hungry for truth that will help us become who God wants us to be, and it very well might be that this is the very messenger that God wants to use to give the truth that we so desperately need. Number three, a danger that we might face, you might become critical if not careful. He said, I don't know of anyone that sets out to be critical. I do know, though, that it's likely easier to be critical of those who don't naturally appeal to us. Neither you or I desire to become critical. More importantly, God doesn't want us to become critical. A constant critic is most often a help to no one, and very rarely receives help themselves. The fourth danger that you might face, you might become a hindrance to others. You might be surprised to know that others around you can pick up on how you are feeling much easier than you think. Your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe even your children can sense when you've already shut off what's being said. Maybe this was the speaker that could make the difference for them. We certainly don't want to become a stumbling block that could hinder their efforts in gaining heaven. So what can we do when we see that speaker? He said, number one, you can pray for them. Pray for them especially, even more so than the other workers. You might be surprised how it affects your outlook and spirit. Number two, take a notebook and pen. I thought, oh no, if Kenny read that and he sees me sitting right there on the front seat taking notes, he's going to think that I don't like him. Take a notebook and pen and listen with intent to learn and walk in the light. Number three, make a conscious effort to look for the helpful truth and encouraging words. Even say amen when the opportunity arises. Number four, pray for your heart. Ask God to use them to help you. It's likely that God will answer that prayer and make them a blessing. When it's all said and done, they still may not be your favorite speaker, but with your effort and God's help, this could be the service, camp, or revival that God answers prayer. God has been known to bless willing vessels and open hearts, and while you might not have a choice in who the vessel is, you certainly have a part to play in making sure you have an open and willing heart. That is so true. That is so true. That we can be a hindrance without even realizing that we are hindering somebody. When it came time for me to be ordained and I found out who was going to be speaking that ordination service, my heart hit the floor because I did not care for that speaker. Well known, well popular, if I were to say his name, and I might, some of you would shoot daggers at me because you thought he was fantastic, you thought he was great, and he was a wonderful evangelist. But there was just something about it that I didn't like to sit and listen to him speak. And he was going to speak the ordination service, the ordination message at my ordination. Why couldn't they have gotten somebody that I liked? When it was all said and done, somebody that I liked couldn't have preached a better message than what he preached at that ordination service. I walked away from there with a different opinion. No, I didn't call him to be an evangelist at my church or anywhere that I had that opportunity, but I had a different opinion. You see, it takes all different vessels. It takes all different personalities. We all can't be that one person. I was reminded of that during revival when we had those young people, different young people, open the services. I have a list here in front of me of who they were. I also have a list of on my paper here. I have good and bad. Is that terrible of me? Is that bad? I don't have anything under the bad side. When it came to the opening, you know, Owen was the first night, then Lydia, then Cade and Brock and Hannah and Keaton and Desmond. That was all the services. When it came for each one of them to do what I asked them to do, to give a welcome, an opening, a call to worship, scripture, prayer, and to turn it over to the song leader, each one of them did it according to their personality. Could we find fault with them? Don't need to. We don't need to because they all did what they were asked to do according to their personality. What could I say on the bad side? I really don't know. Because I think all of them did a fantastic job doing. Let me say it this way. They did better than what I anticipated them to do. Because I thought that they would be so nervous that they would really have a hard time doing. And some of them were nervous, I can assure you that. They were nervous. But it was just so wonderful to hear them give that opening, and to where some people said that we need to do it all the time. I think Tirza said that. How many think that Tirza needs to do it next Sunday? Aren't you the one that said that? We need to. Tirza. Young people. Those of you that helped with that, those of you that did the greeting, you know, the young people outside, it was so interesting for me to watch them that I wanted to be out there with them. And it probably, that possibly made them nervous. I don't know. I didn't think about that until later. Maybe they thought I was out there to critique them. I just wanted to be out there with them because it was interesting. It was something that was, you know, great. It was wonderful. Young people, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. I really, really was blessed by your participation. The youth activities Friday night, such a wonderful time. What a wonderful opportunity for our young people, young at heart, to get together. And all of the activities, all that wonderful food that was there. Thank you to those that were in charge of organizing that and setting that up. That was fantastic. I'm grateful for the people that have our young people at their heart and are wanting to see them go forward. Tuesday night, he opened up with those thoughts about Joseph and how the Lord was with Joseph. And he talked about who is it that God's not with. Do you remember him talking about that on Tuesday night? Well, he closed out Tuesday evening with the idea, with the thought from Scripture that says that he is with those who have a contrite heart. That is a tender and obedient and willing, open to him and to his leading. That's the way he opened up the revival meeting, the first message, speaking about a contrite heart, bringing ourselves down before God. What a wonderful truth. Joseph didn't know, didn't understand. I think the songwriter had a little bit in that song that the young people sang tonight, even when I don't understand. And certainly Joseph didn't understand. How could he? He couldn't see the end of the last chapter. But when we have a contrite heart, tender and obedient, willing, open to him and to his leading. Wednesday night, he did a great job on Psalm, and God Knows Me. I believe that that's the one that Susanna was referring to. God knows me. He knows where I've been. He knows where I am now presently. And he knows where I'm going. He knows where I'm going. Sum it all up, on Wednesday night, he simply said that God knows us inside and out. Everything about us. He knows where we've been, what we've done. He knows exactly what's going on now, and he's looking ahead at the future. Young people, keep that in mind. God knows not only the reality of my life, he said, not only knowing the reality of my life, but he knows the potentiality of my life. He knows who you can be. Praise God. I've talked about it before myself. You know, Moses had a rod in his hand. Gideon had a trumpet in his hand and a lamp. And you know, all of these different people. Samson had a jawbone of a donkey. All of these different people had different things in their hands. And God essentially is asking each one, what is in your hand? And he's asking us that today. Young people, he's asking you. And he knows what's in your hand, and he knows how he can use what's in your hand and what the potential of that is for the future. You can trust him. We can trust him. Thursday night, he talked about four pieces of advice. Do you remember those four pieces of advice? How countercultural it is, what he was saying. Oh, it was so countercultural. But that's the way the Scripture is. Let me remind you of some of these. It said the culture says to question everything except yourself. And he referred to Matthew chapter 7, speaking about where Jesus was speaking about the mote and the beam, the splinter and the two before, where we can focus on somebody else's little splinter and forget about the two before that's in our own eye. Basically, what he came down to say is that question yourself. Trust God and question yourself. Rely on God, but question yourself. He also brought out that counterculture where the culture is saying, follow your heart. If you follow your heart, you'll be happy. But he reminded us in Jeremiah that our heart is desperately wicked. You and I can't trust our heart. We trust the heart of God. We can't trust our heart. The third thing that he mentioned was that culture is telling us that we are special. The things that we have, the things that we have give us worth, or the things that are special to us make us valuable. But in reality, what makes us valuable is how we place ourselves into the working hand of God. God has made us, and he continues to mold us and to shape us into a vessel of honor for him. We can rely on him for the value that he has for us. The fourth thing that he said was that you can do anything that you put your mind to. How countercultural it is to go against that. But he said that God has made us each one of us different. We have limitations here. Somebody else has a limitation there. Somebody has a strength over here. But over here, somebody else has a different strength. And God uses all of them. And it brings me back to all of these young people that have been involved with different facets of revival meeting. All of them doing it in a different way. They're using the tools that God has given them. Sure, one did things different than another one. As a matter of fact, every one of them was different, weren't they? And that's what we look for. That's what God looks for. Because he has limitations here and limitations here, strengths here and strengths here. And we give them all to God. We trust in him. God has made us. Friday night, he spoke about Pharaoh and the plagues. And Pharaoh's heart softens, and then the plague lifts, and Pharaoh's heart hardens. And what he spoke on then was about the compromises that Pharaoh offers. Do you remember those? Those are so good. Young people, I want you to remember them. That you can follow God tomorrow. You can serve him tomorrow. That was a compromise. When can we leave Pharaoh? Tomorrow. And God, Satan will do that to every single one of you in some way or another, try to convince you that today is not the day. Just go ahead and wait till tomorrow. Just go ahead and wait till tomorrow. Harold, can I share a little story about you? Do you mind if I share a story? He was out here, and I think maybe I have already shared it, but he was out here in the parking lot, and he recognized that he needed to pray. He said, well, Sunday, when Sunday gets here, I'll go to the altar and I'll pray. And I said, Harold, you don't have a promise of Sunday. Let's pray right here against the truck. Satan will do everything he can to push our attention into tomorrow's. God is telling us we have today is the day of salvation. And he brought that out, that tomorrow isn't right and good enough. We have to do it today. Another thing he said, that the compromise of Pharaoh was to serve God in Egypt. Just go ahead and serve God right here among all of this other. God wanted them to leave. And Satan will try to convince you to do that same thing. The third one was just don't go very far away. And while you're gone, while you're out there just a short distance, entreat God for me. And he said that sometimes people prayed until they feel better, until they get rid of that guilt a little bit or a guilt lift, but they don't go very far. They don't go very far. I don't know if he said it, but it's been in my mind. We repent enough to be forgiven, but do we surrender enough to be changed? I don't know if Kenny said that night or not. It fits into that very context, so I don't know. I didn't write it down then, but somewhere it's been going around in my mind. Need to feel better, but we don't go very far. Don't go crazy about it is the compromise of Satan. Don't become radical. Well, the scripture tells us that the plan and the purpose and the message of Christ is radical. And if you don't believe that, then just go and understand and read the portion that Jesus is talking about. If there's something that offends you, cut it off. Now, that's radical. That is radical. I don't believe that Jesus is wanting us to walk around maimed or with one eye or one ear or whatever the case may be. But he's speaking about the idea that it's a radical decision to turn away from Satan, to turn away from temptation, to get away from sin and go all out for 100% for God. Pharaoh said, don't go very far. God is not going to be satisfied. Kenny finished out. God is not going to be satisfied with you living in the sphere of influence of Satan. Saturday, he spoke about warning out of Isaiah 34 and 35. And let me just sum it up on that one very quickly here. The time is running out, I understand. He said, there's a highway. It's a highway of holiness where you and I can walk. Young people, you and I can walk a highway of holiness that the unclean does not walk on, the beast does not walk on. It's a way of holiness. It doesn't matter what part of Scripture you read. The whole message of Calvary is that of holy living. Don't ever allow Satan to turn your thoughts any other way that you have to live in a state of sin. But it's a freedom from sin. It's a holy way. And I love that his closing out with that message that it's a highway of holiness. And then Sunday morning, go back and listen to the whole message if you need to. I encourage you to go back and listen to that whole message where Moses was given the scepter. Young people, there's not a single one of you, whether you graduate from high school as a valedictorian or you graduate from high school as the bottom of your class, it does not matter where you are in that educational spectrum. Every single person has a gift and a strength. Multiple gifts and multiple strengths is probably the reality of it. And God wants to use those things, but Satan will offer you the scepter. Because if you put your mind to it, you can make a success in the United States of America. Maybe it's more difficult now than what it used to be, but you can still do it. You can have the scepter in your hand. Moses had that offered to him. He got distracted. He got tangled up when he took up the sword. You remember him talking about that? He picked up the sword. And that caused him to have to flee out of Egypt. And he was essentially forced to be given the staff. And as a staff, that staff was a reminder of all of his failures, all of his shortcomings, all of his insufficiencies, and he called it the staff of setback. Whew. I didn't know exactly where he was going when he got to that point, but I had a pretty good idea. He was offered the scepter. He took up the sword. He was forced to take the staff of setback. And when he had that encounter with God, ladies and gentlemen, young people tonight, you will have, if you have an encounter with God, and I hope that every single one of you have that encounter, God is going to bring you to that very point. The very point of the setback that you have had and experienced, maybe in the midst of your failures, in the midst of your insufficiencies, in the midst of your weaknesses. Satan wants to target those things and build those things up and make those things to be seemingly to be a mountain against your success spiritually. God wants you to face those things and to recognize those things and to lay them down in surrender, even as we find him talking about the staff of surrender, when he laid it down, threw it down before God. And it came back to him as the rod of God. I got tingly feelings when he said that. That's a reality, young people. Face your weakness, face your failure, face whatever it is that hinders you and cast it down before God, and it'll come back to you when you are resigned to him, when you are settled in him. He picked it up and it became the rod of God. Moses couldn't live without it then. You and I can't live without it either. I know we have weaknesses. And if we don't have a weakness, chances are God will give us a thorn in the flesh. If we think we don't have any weaknesses, God will give us a thorn in the flesh. I don't know why Paul the Apostle had a thorn in the flesh, but he arrived at that point finally in his life when God said, after three times of him asking, he said, no, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul arrived at that position where he said, I will glory in my infirmities. He said, I have a whole lot of other things that I could glory in, but he said, I must remain humble before God and I will glory in my infirmities. Every single one of us will face something that is discouraging. We will face a complex battle, but God in his strength will fight that battle for us when we cast our insufficiencies and our setbacks down before God. I don't like to share much about this. I'm tired of it. But one morning this week, I sat with tears pouring down my face, texting a man. I said, why? How come I can't kick this? We just came through a tremendous revival. We had a record attendance. The presence of God was very real, and the devil has fought so much in my mind. My head felt like it was exploding. My chest felt like it was being squeezed tight. I said, why? He responded, the devil's doing everything that he can to discourage. He said, we had great services Sunday where he was ministering as well. And he said, it's been nothing but discouragement all week long for him. Now, this guy is a senior minister. I don't want to tell you who it was because I don't want you to think that he fights any battles. I want you to think that it's always glorious for him, because that's what I thought. I don't want to dismay you in that. What am I saying here? I'm saying that when we lay down the staff of surrender and we trust in him, and then Sunday night, as Troy's already mentioned, and I won't go through all of that, be not dismayed. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold you, I will be right there beside you. What a powerful closing out. What a powerful closing out. The enemy will work on us. I say us because I know that he does. He does it for me, and I can pretty well believe that he's doing it for you at some time or point. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes. Don't allow the enemy to entice you away. Don't allow the enemy to draw you away or discourage you away or disrespect you. Make you disrespect yourself. The enemy will do that kind of thing. He'll detour you. He'll distract you. Maybe not right now. But if you don't make a complete surrender, if you don't make a complete surrender and keep it surrendered, the attack will detour you. It will distract you. It will draw you away. Many, many talented people before us have fallen to Satan's traps because they didn't keep things surrendered. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens to me, that we are clay moldable in the hands of Christ, in the hands of the potter. Not just any old clay, but moldable clay. Something that he can make when we are surrendered to him. They say in real estate, location, location, location. In spiritual aspects, it's surrender, surrender, surrender. If you don't like that word, then how about yield, yield, yield? It's all the same. He opened up with that very wonderful thought of a contrite heart. He closed speaking about surrender to him and trusting in His grace and His power. I don't know really why I'm summarizing, reviewing revival. I don't know that I've ever done that before, have I? But here it is. I felt very clearly that God wanted me to do a revival review. And I hope it's beneficial to bring out the strong points and the particulars that you and I can take with us daily. We might not need it today, but we just might need it tomorrow or some other tomorrow. Faithful to walk with God. Remember, surrender, surrender, surrender. Yield it all to Jesus. Praise God. Has somebody else thought of something that stands out in your mind about revival meeting? Owen, did you just see what I was doing? Leaning down here like... Owen said that he was afraid that that's what he would do when he'd get up here and just kind of lean on the pulpit. And here I found myself doing that, leaning on the pulpit. So, you know, if you do, then see it and stand up. I guess that's what we're supposed to do. That was good. Mm-hmm. Amen. That is good. Thanks for that reminder. Excellent. Anyone else? Discernment is not just knowing right from wrong. It's knowing right from almost right. That was tweetable right there, if anybody's tweeters. That was good. All right. Thank God for the revival meeting. And I meant to say stuff about that, the singing too. Did you all think that Lauren and Brittany were nervous? Did you all think that they were terribly nervous? I didn't. You did because your dad and mom. They said that they were really nervous. But I just thought they did a great job. And fantastic. And you know what stands out to me is that they're just normal young people. They're just normal young people. Young people, when we give ourselves to God, God can do something with us. Praise God. Praise God. That's all Brother Gibson was. He was just a normal young person, wasn't he? But he's grown into a giant of a spiritual man for so many people. So many people. Praise God for them. God can take what we have in our hands to use for His glory when we surrender it to Him. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Amen. Alan, you didn't get in on any of those openings of the services, so why don't you close us out tonight in prayer?